And Bowen Wilson is the user group. Today is October 30th.
Hi. Great.
We have some other group here for us. So we can record two sessions at the same time.
Multi-generational, multi-platform,
multi-culture,
multi-inspirational.
I wanna remind everybody that today is the last week in here. And from next week, we are going to be in this place here, Dewey's Pub, which is on Water Street.
You got like an 8-foot screen there.
Yes,
very. I mean, maybe even bigger than that. What's going on?
You tell me. Yeah, you tell me the resolution. I think. Mr. Resolution House. It's like first floor
in the back.
You pass through the bar and the back. On one side there's a spare room and look on the outside of the kitchen.
Almost every day.
There's a restaurant. They have also the side entrance. I still need to change the website and where we are. Very helpful. Hello? Anybody here? This is Android talking. I just think that other people should read it and tell me about it. So shall we go with our 2-hour plan? 2 hours, 2 minutes. 2 hours.
My wife and I we play in a summer volleyball league, so that happened to be on Thursday nights this week, and so that's why I've been gone for a while and stuff. But we're back into the fall routine and got around to it. She's got a different job, working second shift, so my evenings are more free and stuff, and I wanted to come back here, and so here I am.
Play at Loopy's?
Nope. Play at Loopy's? We play at Mount Sinai.
Amazing. Somebody who doesn't play at Loopy's.
You know, Loopy's actually, they build a...
They got a dome up.
Yeah,
I know,
isn't that cool?
I play on Mondays, so...
Oh, really? Is it built yet?
Is
it live? Awesome.
Yeah. Hey, you haven't been there, but I have.
It takes 2 minutes to play.
he's got three volleyball courts, and then what it is, it's a big blow-up dome, and he's got like a big fan in there, and he's got like revolving doors for getting in and out, and he's got like a bar set up in there, and the whole thing.
Revolving doors?
Yep.
Just
you know what? You just got to make sure you don't have a cape. It can get stuck in the revolving door and it causes major problems. No.
I see. Actually, they were saying before we start building, they were saying they caused like $200,000.
Ooh. I didn't hear that much, but
yeah.
Somebody was.
I believe it. It's heated with the pressurized air in there, and there's heated coils in the sand, so that your feet don't get cold, and they can play full year-round volleyball league.
He said he was going to be up to about 75 in there.
in the middle of the winter.
Isn't that awesome?
I like it about 50 because otherwise you start to sweat because you're playing volleyball.
Yeah. Then you get even warmer then.
It's a bar. What do you think? I'm going to go with that revolving door and so.
Interestingly enough, I bet you the drinks are going to be a little bit more expensive in the dome. You know, because it's still a bar. And
yeah. Well, you can't have glass in the dome either.
No.
Well, he doesn't want glass.
It's really, really expensive. Oh, I suppose for safety purposes.
Safety purposes. Yeah, okay. He doesn't want somebody slashing at the dome. No.
We were there in the summer, and the dome wasn't done there, but all the concrete work was done. Yep. And he had the groove out.
Yeah, he can actually only have it up half the year. Otherwise, it would be considered a permanent building, and you'd have to pay taxes on it. So it's only up for 179 days out of the year or something.
Well, that's about your heating season, you know?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. Goes up in October, down in April.
You are a So,
me? Well, I've been playing with a couple of things. One thing I was playing with was Sphinx, which is an open source voice recognition package. And I actually got it to recognize some words, amazingly. It's supposedly one of the more difficult things to get working. They don't really have good tutorials, good information on it. But I was able to get at least the basic, you know, voice recognition to work, and I learned that my microphone really sucks, and it couldn't do a very good job of recognizing words. I maybe got about 50 to 60% accuracy.
Did you try the Mary Poppins word?
Not gonna lie, I forgot about it.
No. Supercalifragilistic? No. 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 And the thing is, you can, like, customize it so that you can say, only detect these words, and then you can give the likelihood of each of those words. So then you can actually get the percentages up much higher because it's trying to recognize, you know, 40,000 words versus trying to recognize 10. So I wasn't able to get any of that working.
Is it command line?
Yeah, just command line. You have it running, and it spits out the word that you said.
So you talk to it,
more or less, yeah. And, I mean, you could then plug that into something else. You know, like a command line or what? I think those were in it. I mean, you just say D, and it considers that a word. And, like, you can do, like, all the pronunciations and everything. You say, like, one is, you know, actually three. I can't remember what they call them, but three sounds put together. So then it's got like a base list of like 40 or 50 sounds, and all the words are made up of those sounds. So you just spell them out phonetically, and then it can, you know, base it off of that. So, I don't know, play with that some more. You know what? You can try that. That's fine. You can try that, but I would just type it. So anyway, I did that. I set up a subversion repository for some of the stuff in my home directory, just so that I can, you know, version some of my documents, like especially like the graphics and everything. So I set that up, and now I'm going in. I'm changing the graphics. That's working pretty well. At least it, you know, then I've got like a full history of what I actually did. What else did I do? I did a bunch of stuff. I looked a little bit at making some plugins for Nautilus. Some plugins. Just actually making plugins instead of like the scripts. And it looks like the API is pretty easy, so I might try my hand at something simple like that.
Yeah, what kind of plugin? There's a plugin for file audio file conversion. So that you write quick on it, and then you watch it.
Yep. Actually, I was going to maybe start off with something that's connected to like a Subversion repository and put a different emblem on it based on the status. Just start with that and build off of it.
Okay. Let's go after that.
Great.
Well, there's a Subversion Java.
Actually, they have a native C library as well, which that's probably what I would use, because all the APIs for the plugin are all in C. So,
write your own Subversion.
Yep. Let's see. Did I do anything else?
You made a flyer.
I just did that in the 5 minutes I was here.
Well, when you are done, you send it to me.
Right, I'm not done yet. Do I have anything else open? One question. How do you set the limit of open files that one user can have? Like, by default, it's set to 1,024 open files. And I figure maybe you come across this. Do you always have tons and tons of tabs open?
No.
You haven't come across that? Okay.
That's what I got.
Because, yeah, I've come across that once or twice where it'll say, or it won't display an image, and I'll close it, I'll open it up in the command line, it'll be okay for a little while, and then I'll actually get a message, you know, you limit exceeded, too many files open. Something similar to that.
I don't know what
now, it is. But that's just, it's 1,024 across the entire user. That user can have 1,024 files open, that's it. Proxies FS file now. You see, and I looked at that, but I didn't think that actually...
It's like it's just a very old file. I did a Google search for what he was talking about, and I came across an article in... It says in CentOS, but it might be consistent with other distros, too.
Oh, that's what that was? That's the system-wide number of files, but not the per user.
Oh, you want users.
I want per user, because it limits each user to 1,024, and then root gets the rest of it.
I bet you it's someplace pretty similar.
There's always a whole bunch of stuff
in
about setting floating.
Is it like in rc.local?
It's in proxys fs file max.
I do have a
scroll.
I'll do it someone else later.
Just run as a root.
Run as a root. Good idea.
That's a security expert's mindset right there.
Never got another problem?
No.
I mean, I looked at using the ULimit command, because that's where I actually got, you know, that there is a limit, and it, supposedly you can set it using the ULimit command, but then I looked at more documentation and said, you can't set it with the ULimit command. The ULimit command has the ability to set it, but the kernel won't do it. So it's like some kernel setting somewhere, and I can't figure out how to do it. It might be in one of the startup scripts, but I haven't found anything yet.
Oh, might be kernel configs too.
Kernel configs, maybe.
Where?
And I mean, yeah, that's. I mean, it's got the maximum files for the entire system, but not for the user.
Is it in like ULimit or NLimit or?
ULimit is the name of the name of the file that you can actually.
There's a crash right there.
Like if I go ULimit-N. Then it says the number of files, 1,024.
Can you do a man on ULimit to see
if you're supposed to be able to set it like that, but if you do it, okay, it says I'm root, I can set it. Mm-hmm. But now if I exit, mm-hmm. ULimit, N, ULimit dash N, 1,024, I try and set it. I can't set it because I'm not root. If I change to root, now I'm root.
Can you set a user?
I wonder if there's a way that you can create like a...
Was there a way you can change who the ULimit setting? Maybe when you did it,
maybe
you have to do ULimit and say which user you're setting it for other than yourself.
Maybe it's something that you have to set up like in a variable in your like .profile or something that it sets it up just for that specific directory in the beginning. Maybe?
And I tried that too. Like, somebody did suggest that, and I tried it, and I wasn't able to get it to work.
See if there's an argument for you.
What are you doing that you have more than 1,000 24 files?
Well, I had three columns worth of tabs open in Opera.
Yeah, see, it's got a user.
Usernames. I never close single because that's my to-do list.
For like Oracle database users who's constantly
writing to go ulimit-n2048-u. Valid number. Oh, it might have to be a number.
Yeah, just do AU. And just do it.
For user 500.
Try putting you and man together. Just put the switches together.
Let's just see what that does.
Let's keep on moving on our
page.
Yeah. Let's look up flash photography. A few hours up there, that was a laugh, bro. How about you?
Oh, well, it was an unlucky week for my playing test. I was trying to do something called PyBKM, which is part of my unending quest to get my book out of control. And it's got something to do with WX Python stuff. For some reason, it just is not finding pieces of that it needs. I've used every switch on make and build and doing figs to tell it to build everything, and then for some reason it won't work. So I'm still figuring that out. Then I was also trying to get free URLs and open WRL and open WRL to work, because the GTK lookat and that other viewer that they have for WRL files that come with Ubuntu, they're not too good. First of all, they don't have a way to rotate the object, and like if you're looking at virtual polyhedra, it's pretty dull just to slide it back and forth. So it's got something to do with the GTK plus stuff, where you get into an unreconcilable dependency problem because of the bonobo stuff. And it's like, I just can't, I mean, I don't know if I'm going to be able to work that out.
Is he coming here?
But I would love to have a better WRL viewer, none of which run in Wine.
Oh, yeah, his dog's sitting.
You know,
like,
better ones that run in Windows don't run in Wine. Yeah, anybody knows
this
that?
Might work. Oh, well.
I don't know, I guess.
I think I did get the key for it, but I don't know. It's supposed to be better, but if anybody saw the that Codeweavers was giving away, what's it called? I know it's designed for games, but they have, it's like a commercial version of Wine.
Whatever it's called?
Yeah, it's Wine X.
You mean Wine X?
Crossover. Yeah, because it went down below $279.
Yeah.
So he gave it away for free for a day.
But only for one day, so.
But I have a key for Linux, which I'm probably not going to use. And
okay,
the
email
installation file if I want it.
Email it to me, sure. Thank you.
Just let's put it on the website.
Or do that, sure. Put it on the group, you know, file.
I think it wants to validate.
Yeah, well, some of those keys don't work unless it's for a particular machine. It depends on how it's generated. So. But it's worth a try. But anyway, I can understand. I mean, basically, the file that Ubuntu puts in, which is one of their hacked files or patched files, is actually a higher version number than the one that they say is required. But it's not backward compatible, so... So it was not a very good week for getting anything to work too well. I did find something interesting, though. There's a program called Network Notebook, Network Notepad. And you can diagram your network. I mean, you know, if you're designing a network, it's got little icons and stuff, and you can push that around and get it worked out. And I thought that was interesting. It comes with some built-in symbols, which all work fine on the Windows ICO files. But the other thing they give you is all WMF files for any extra symbols that they also have on the website to download. But WMFs don't work in Linux. There's no way to convert them in Linux. But if you take them someplace else and convert them, I cannot tell the difference between those ICO files and the ones I'm converting. But when you put them into the program, they don't work. You know, so I don't know what you're doing that's...
the format is a Windows media player file. So if you have all the formats and install it, doesn't work.
Oh no, you can't. There's no way I know of to look at WMF files.
Actually, this says that the GIMP can view them.
What version?
That's fairly old, so hang on.
No, I can't open WMF in my GIMP. I mean,
what is WMF?
Isn't that a Windows media file?
Yeah.
Isn't that something that you can... There's a pack
Windows
of plugins.
Windows meta file format.
Yeah, well, I mean, they can be movies and stuff, but they can also just be static anyway.
Okay. I know that there's a pack of plugins that you can get for, like, Unity Layer to do images and to do videos and stuff like that.
Mm-hmm.
And traditionally, they've been one of the most compatible movie players and stuff. So I think it's, like, mplayerhq.hu. It's a real weird URL. You can Google it for mplayer and get the codecs bundle and then put those in the subdirectory. There's a specific directory that they have you put it in, and then it references the, you know, that directory for the DLLs and for the library files, and then once you put it in there, then you know, sometimes
I'll try to find a way to convert them in Linux, and maybe it works better than when you convert them in Windows and drag them over.
If you email the files out to, like, if we could post the file somewhere, we could work on it. You know, finding compatibility. If we, like, upload them, if he emails them to you, then you can.
Yeah, that's kind of what I'm looking
for. We have a Yahoo group or a Google group? The Google group, all posting to that file library there.
Cool. Very cool.
Yeah, that's it.
Easy log.
Other than the fact that I've been re-granted my Alpha Duck status, the ducks are now obeying my commands to come into the duck house at night again. So they feel comfortable in their new digs, I guess. They're under control, I guess.
For now.
Oh, no, they're pretty good. They were skeptical. You know, when you do anything that upsets the usual routine, that puts you on the bad list for a while. But now they've decided I'm okay again after all, so. That is a real nice program.
So you're saying that is it actually posted on a website? Or is it actually a
You can import the recipe directly from the web page. So what we did to get all our old recipes put into it is I just put all the recipes as HTML files on my little local LAN web server, and I just, you know, you take them in from there.
You imported them from.
Yeah. It works very well.
I brought it to here. That's all what I'm doing.
Is that an open source recipe?
Yes. You have to buy ingredients. But it is open source.
Tell us that there's no proprietary recipe for your
There's
yours.
No proprietary barley in there.
Okay.
But you have to buy it.
And genetically modified ingredients?
Well, you never know.
Yes. That's the problem.
Don't get any eggs from China right now.
No.
WMF file.
Somebody called me.
And that's in GIMP. I don't know why mine doesn't.
It might be a feature or something, but because the WMF is actually a vector format, so the GIMP actually rasterizes it, turns it into an image, and then imports it. I wonder if Inkscape
maybe that's it. I was trying to open it. Maybe all I have to do is import it.
I wonder if that's Inkscape maybe has it.
How do you open the file?
I just right clicked and open with.
Open.
Inkscape opens it up. And Inkscape, I bet you this is actually a vector.
Is it one of those little EPCs?
No, maybe not.
Got enough tabs up in there, Ralph?
Actually, it doesn't have many today.
He used enough for the symbol.
No, he was using Opera the other day and had three columns going.
Yeah, I don't know. This is version 0.46.
Well, photos. So, what kind of photos are in a paragraph?
2.4.
Yeah, all right. Open.
And they're up to 2.6, so.
I'll fool around with it. I'll give you the version.
Yes, there is a way.
The ones they give you are just such a limited set of settings for network stuff that it's hard to have a lot of different
things. So. Right, definitely. No, it just gets all right. Well, like, why
are you picking up with me? Yes.
See, the beer cans.
Nice.
Well, here's an idea for your Halloween costume. Go as a beer can.
I don't believe my child.
No, you're not going to take your kids out?
Well, it is. Okay. Oh.
Yeah, yeah. Well, I didn't do too much with the Linux, but I managed to put newspaper out. And, I was about it, I think.
Why? Okay, what does that have to be on the
wall? Oh, that's the same thing for my Android phone.
Really? Did you solve the security problem for yourself?
No. Yeah. I'm just glad I didn't have the security problem with the iPhone.
Oh, it's in my car.
She doesn't have the what?
You don't get access to the room.
I don't have the privacy app, so is that right?
I don't know. I didn't find that a little bit. It looks like if I go to a bad web page and it's your password and stuff, I don't use it for a while around here, considering you have the edge. Mm-hmm. What's going on? 3G, unless you drive a couple of hours.
Yeah.
Why wouldn't you? What's that? I wouldn't drive a couple of hours.
Yeah, just to enjoy yourself.
Just to get some 3G and network
access. Yeah, it's just have to drive back.
Yeah.
Yep. Works in the cities, in Madison, and in Milwaukee. Those are the closest places to 3G for AT&T's network. My wife has the iPhone 3G, and it's pretty cool.
And one day it'll come here.
What's that?
One day it'll come here.
Yeah. Well, according to the Sprint people, they're predicting third quarter of 2009. Or of the AT&T people, rather. So, I mean, whether they'll actually get it done or not, I don't know.
Yeah, that's the same trick with the kind of slow. It works with the loading machine, get a terminal, and run a top command.
I'm here. How are you?
Watch the top processes. I'm already seeing them. You're really, yeah. Wow.
Well, you never know. That you're really looking at depending on the machine.
You got to get that M player plug-in for the output that outputs it as ASCII, so you can watch it.
Oh, that is cool, isn't it?
As well for it, so I suppose I could tunnel browsing my own network.
I'm kind of in the market for a different phone. Is anyone using Sprint?
I am.
Yeah. You guys
don't buy an Upstage.
Don't buy an Upstage?
It's old anyway.
I looked at the BlackBerry series, and I looked at the HTC Touch, and the Touch Pro is supposed to be coming out pretty soon and stuff, and I have a Palm Trio right now, and I've just been sick of my phone, and so I'd like to move to AT&T or a different carrier or something with a better phone, but...
The iPhone ripoff looks pretty cool.
iPhone ripoff?
Yeah, I hate to discourage you.
Is it the Samsung
one?
Here's how we solved our Sprint phone problem. We bought an AirCard modem, and we used the laptop in the car.
Okay. Well, I'm still stuck in a contract till next September, and so I'm looking for a better option in terms of a better usable phone, because I can't afford to just pay the $500 to cancel it and get a new phone and a new network and everything.
If you get a new phone, the dollar does have to be up for another 2 years, so...
Yeah, I can't...
Just sign the contract.
Well, yeah, that's...
If they force you to sign a contract, you just go someplace else, because not all of them will force you to sign the contract.
Not all of them will force you to sign it.
Altel might be the only Nazis as far as that goes. They might be the ones that force you to sign a contract, and you know what? Just go with somebody else.
Was it Altel bought by somebody?
Yeah, Verizon. Yeah. Some rumored to be coming pretty soon.
Oh, they always just talk to us. Since Altel took over Cellular One, since AT&T took over Cellular One, Verizon probably was thinking about taking his junior partner and bought us the G3 and all that and nothing else. Because kind of fought and all those little entities out there.
Is G3, is it
3G?
3G, is it GSM?
Yes. Yeah, it uses the HS, the high-speed data packet access. It's the new technology that'll force packets through at a much faster rate. And of course, when we were browsing on my wife's iPhone in the 3G network, and it was fairly close to like a busy Wi-Fi network, like something you'd be like, we're all browsing here. And so, you know, it's probably equivalent. I mean, pages were loading pretty quickly, and it seemed to pull information, and YouTube came up in 5 seconds for a video. So, I mean, it was pretty good. So, I mean, pretty good for a mobile network, because we were driving, too.
Brain doesn't have a G3.
Well, it's a different technology. Sprint doesn't use... they have CDMA, and they have their own version of the latest generation. And according to the website, I think it's like tops out at 1.4 megabit downloads in like the perfect optimal environment. So I'm talking like 5 bars right in the middle of town, and their speed, their high speed network is in town here. It is in Eau Claire, but I don't have a capable phone with like a higher speed capable phone, but. I was at the Sprint store, and I tried out a whole bunch of different phones, and I wanted good internet access, and I wanted good email, and good call quality and everything, and I wasn't really impressed with the speeds. It didn't seem any faster than like what the other devices were doing, and the interface was like the biggest hurdle. I don't really like the BlackBerry interface. The very tiny little trackball is difficult to use, and
the hardware track record for BlackBerry is bad too. They're great.
Did you see Android?
Yeah, the G1 with Android. Yeah, I mean it looks like a very cool interface, and now that the G1, I think it's T-Mobile. It came out and everything. It looks pretty cool. I saw the demos and stuff, but... Oh, you do? Here? Yeah, sure.
I work with this guy at Altel, and I use Altel, but at least I have those HTCs to Altel, and he really likes it. He's got GPS, Bluetooth, Wi-Fi, he's got data packets. He's got like a little, program that'll turn his phone into a router, so he can have Wi-Fi be a network.
So don't forget to use the SSH client to check his transition.
No, I'll just say Altel.
That makes it international.
The G1 to Mexico. We're going there in 2 weeks.
Because I live in Florida, and anyone has a nationwide, and I got back.
Ouch.
And I called them and they wiped off the charge. Awesome.
What did you tell them?
What did you tell them?
Well, how did you get them to make a free
family? My kids are going to start.
I need to put food on my family. Come on.
Well, I told them I said.
Flip
you can change your plan. I'll tell you on our behalf.
You're even now, though.
Yeah, I know. So
they kept track of that. They got the little notches on the PC.
They must, because they go, no, the next time you do this, you're not. The system won't let us be there, right?
You know, because she has that sticker. No, you know, owner monitor.
Can
you
stop it?
The G1, if you use Google for stuff, that's great. If you don't, I think it's kind of...
I love the interface. It's significantly better than the other phones.
See, I've got like Google Calendars.
Yeah, I saw Google Calendar and Gmail, and it's pretty good. It's got integrated Wi-Fi.
And basically everything's
that's cool. I found it's definitely necessary to make a change, because the other day I got calls from my boss, and like three of the four calls from my boss didn't come to my phone. I had like one missed call, and he's like, I called you four times, where were you? And I'm like, oh crap, now I'm going to be in trouble. So. Yeah, start advertising for AT&T. My Sprint phone sucks.
You're like,
yeah, I lost my job because of Sprint. You should use AT&T. Yeah, that'd be fun. Could pay for,
you know, you could call in and say, are you recording this? Are you recording this? Okay. And then just go on.
Yeah. Yeah, just make sure you're recording this for quality control.
Yes, you can use this. You
And what security compromising tools have you dumped on there that's going to install keyloggers and everything else?
No, it's just a real simple script. DD space.
Yeah, I don't think so.
Not even slash. It goes straight to the SDA.
I had an extra 4 gig stick, so I just tool and create a bootable USB for you from a high cell.
That's
you
cool.
Can add, you got a little slider, you can pick up with the partition for the
It'd be handy to use if you could just get the base, like, latest Ubuntu stable release, and then, like, add all the package, the sub-packages that you need in, and then just do a DD after you've got it plugged in to, you know, migrate the ISO, like, mount the ISO from the CD or from the file, then you get it, and then, like, do a DD from there to the image of the device, and as long as your BIOS supports booting it, that'd be pretty cool.
So then we don't have to go to Brian's house, we can go to your house.
Hey, watch some of those open source movies.
Well, you need to first
I think we need to go to Brusky's house for that one. He's been working on his collection. Eric Brusky? Yeah.
Hey, do you want to say which address he lives on and phone number?
I don't know his address, and I don't know his phone number either. I don't think he does either. No, they just recently moved, so.
Yeah, I know.
They have to look up their phone number every time. They've been there for about a month and a week.
Where is he? Probably at home.
He's from
he had to build a mouse house.
Yeah.
They got snakes. And to feed the snakes, they have mice. They don't want the mice in the house, so they're in the garage. The mice are gonna freeze in the garage unless they build some type of insulated enclosure. So he's probably at home building an insulated enclosure for the mice. Or he's watching open source movies. He has been working on the collection for over a year now through Netflix and Blockbuster. He did find out that both Netflix and Blockbuster, what they'll do is they'll start off sending you movies real quick. But when you get the movie, immediately send it back the next day. Yeah. Get the movie, immediately send it back.
They slow you down.
They'll slow you down and they'll start adding a delay in there. Now, they don't. If you ask them about it, they'll say, no, we don't do anything like that. But it does, because he'll switch to like Blockbuster and it'll be fast again. And then, you know, after about a month or so, it'll start slowing down. He'll switch back to Netflix. It's fast again. And then it starts slowing down. Yeah, exactly.
Exactly.
Oh my gosh.
So he just flip-flops between the two.
So there's no penalty fees for canceling the subscription.
About once every 2 or 3 months, they'll cancel it for a little while and then get the other one. And
you can do work on your open source project.
He's got, I think, over a gig of stuff, and he's got it all transcoded down. So,
you mean a terabyte?
Or a terabyte. Over a terabyte of stuff. And it's all transcoded, so it's, he's got hundreds and hundreds of DVDs worth of stuff.
What was his codec of stuff?
Xbit.
I used DivX for a long time. I think DivX 5 was my main product. I did a lot in college, and I think I got up to 750 or 800 at one point. I had that many as many as I wanted.
He's got a lot of anime and such.
Mm-hmm. I'm not a huge fan of anime.
Oh, I forgot X. Okay.
Me neither. Some of them are good, some of them are
very cool form.
It would take forever for you to download it because it's DSL, you know, you get good download speeds but bad upload speeds. And what you should do is you get one of those removable drives, you know, external hard drives. Give one of those to him, and then he can fix you up. 2 or 3 trips.
That's going to be on sneaker mail.
Yeah.
But it's much faster than
never underestimate the bandwidth of a station wagon filled with floppy disks.
Or hard drives.
There was some old saying, I think it was like from MIT or something.
Traveling 45 miles per hour.
I thought there was like an experiment. Wasn't there an experiment like that a while ago where there was some guy who filled up his station wagon with hard drives and he tested the usability of the fastest, most efficient pipe in the nation. Like, you know, compare the total bandwidth of the pipe from one side of the nation to the other compared to a station wagon full of hard drives. You see how fast you can move data from one place to another.
Okay, I got the quote. It's from Andrew Tenenbaum. Never underestimate the bandwidth of a station wagon full of tapes hurtling down the highway.
What did they actually get with the station wagons? For average data rate.
That doesn't say it. That's just a quote.
I saw an interesting project. If you're looking at like low cost bandwidth, you can actually fit up to, they fit like 10 gigabytes of data on a single, printed on a single sheet of paper that you could read and recover. What?
For sure, I was able to read all the data.
You could scan it.
Yeah.
Oh,
shoot. Whoops. Got a little sting here. There goes 4 gig.
There's one other thing, too, that kind of relates to the sneaker net. I saw a joke online, or a guy at work printed it out and gave it to me. It was about avian carriers. Like avian, like birds.
Yeah,
so IP over avian carrier. Yeah. And I was doing a search here, and apparently Wikipedia says that a Linux user group actually did it. They sent 9 packets over a distance of 5 kilometers using pigeons. Like they actually did a ping with pigeons.
Did they have a modem?
I don't know what they did.
Maybe text into data. Is that like a dude sitting at a computer?
It doesn't go into details, but...
Or is it like they just like taped a little piece of paper that says ping? It was an IP address and like taped it to its leg and said, go, fire, and like, you know, blew a whistle.
How do you add routes to your pigeon?
Well, there's a guy from my home church.
One thing you gotta worry about is drop packets, though.
Yeah, watch out for mad farmers with shotguns. It could be a real damage to your network. Boom! I guess that's a packet loss. Boom!
So that's it? No more fun stories? Oh, okay.
I got one today in the mail. Advertising from a printing company. It has a story, have a nice day, and it's five dollars there. Principal custodian, the custodian must complain that the girls must keep putting kisses on the mirror.
Here it is, this is the one that I actually saw.
And the demonstrate how to clean it off the principal wanted to go in and
just like
the pressure and how to clean it. Mm-hmm. And he went to a toilet bowl, grabbed a schlam, and cleaned the mirror. They didn't have any issues anymore. Girls in high school.
It's like a regarding the pigeon thing. It's like a cheap conversion.
Somebody said we were starting getting a
geek doing this thing and like a fan of a python joke. Like, hey, that's O, cannot carry a 2 hour package.
Let's start with a new job.
That's okay.
What's the job? I can't hear you, one.
I work in the lab over at Lincoln Hospital.
Oh, cool.
So I'll be on days for 2 months. And then I said, why? This way is supposed to sound how I should be. I don't think.
And somebody else wouldn't be able to hear you.
Oh, it is. Yeah.
I'm getting deaf.
It could be worse. I also have it on the working day. You guys can get any training. Just go do it. Where is it? I don't know. Just go off.
Just find it.
Yeah, because Luther's test a little bit bigger than the pharmacy. Only like 2 DM lives are the same.
They were saying that they are breaking ground for more expansion.
Yeah, they just finished the parking ramp. And so for everybody else, just the parking. Now they were parking the parking ramp. Now they were parking, they're going to put on the 5-level. I'll show
you guys. I don't know. See, there's something that's all been doing for people.
Yeah. And because they're for non-profit, they need to spend it. Or they need to collect guns. But for sure they will not.
They're gonna add some more rooms. They're gonna update the cancer center because it's currently down in the basement. They're gonna expand themselves. Apparently, a lot of their rooms have actually seen it. So they're gonna put apparently a lot of people not to because Menominee may have already dumped all the money. Menominee is all updated now, so now wow, they're
well, the Luther actually is one, there's, what is it, on the south side? The building is actually all the good, all the good, all the building.
Yeah, they said, the building is from, like, 1905.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. AIX?
AIX? Might be.
I know
you said the university actually used that on some of their lab stuff.
Well, yeah, that was one of the big magnetic resonance. That was donated by someone.
Yeah.
I work for Sage and do a lot of clinic stuff, and we have a huge variety. All of our older stuff is mostly SCO and a little bit of AIX, but they've been slowly migrating SCO over to Red Hat Enterprise 4, and then the newest application is Windows XP Pro with Server 2003 currently, and they're in beta with the new Vista with Server 2008, which we have to take training for now.
So, did somebody see Windows 7? They were doing whatever it's supposed to do. So you are supposed to be touching your screen with your fingers. Mm-hmm. And
there was a demo a while ago with that, with a new Google API. They had a working version where they had like a tabletop version, and they were doing like giant like pinch like movements up and down to zoom in and zoom out and grab things and stuff. And the guy that was running the demo that I saw, it's probably on YouTube somewhere. He was playing World of Warcraft with it. He was just saying, select this guy, or, you know, select this group of people here, and, like, move over here, and you attack, and, you know, he was using the interface like that. And it was a regular white table, but it was some sort of special projector that could sense sensors.
There's 3 infrared cameras that detect the surface, what's anything sitting on the surface, where you're touching. But you have to have 3 of these infrared sensors.
like precisely placed in that
way. One, well, that's one way of doing it. Another way is what they'll have is they'll have a piece of glass, and they'll have infrared lights along the sides of the glass, and the infrared light will bounce in the glass, and when you touch it, it changes the refraction of the glass, so it'll actually light up. And then behind that, they'll have a camera that'll pick up only that certain frequency of infrared. So then they can pick out different touches based on that.
Have you guys are talking about touch table?
A touch surface.
You're talking about the surface, right?
Yeah, the demo that I saw was like it was a flat surface and they were playing a game. Okay. It was a 2D surface. It wasn't like he was like reaching his hand into open
this
space.
This was like on a monitor. And they were touching the monitor. So you were touching your keyboard, you were touching the monitor.
Right.
You know, interestingly enough with that, with the camera behind, you can make an extremely simple version of that. What you can do is you get a piece of like plexiglass, you get the lights, get a Wii remote. The Wii remote is actually a Bluetooth device, and it's unencrypted, and it has the hardware to do that built in. It's got an infrared camera, it's got the hardware, it can detect up to 5 points. Mm-hmm. So you can plug that into your computer and then have that, you know, as your camera, and then it will actually pick up your fingers touching it. And you can turn that into a multi-touch device instead of the $10,000 or whatever that Microsoft wants for it.
Mm-hmm.
A regular touch, there's four different methods to do it. There's ultrasonic, where it will actually have like little piezo buzzers, and when you touch it, it'll change like the waveform. There's capacitance, where it'll actually, like a touch lamp, similar to that. I think there's like a mechanical one as well, where it'll pick that up, and there's one other one. I think it's like some type of interference pattern with light. Like it'll actually, as you're touching it, it has almost like a laser that shines right in front of it, and it'll pick up where your finger intersects that. So there's a bunch of different ways to do it.
How about you, Elliot? Anything new?
Like I was talking about earlier, I helped my friend put a Bluetooth on his laptop, basically to try and use it as a media player, like a media box, basically, not really so. He's outputting over S-Video to his TV so he can watch movies and stuff. So that didn't go exactly well. I couldn't get wireless networking working. I've had problems with the getting display working properly. I ended up having to use a higher resolution than I wanted to, and it's hard to really do. And like I said, the refresh rate's kind of poor, so I might end up going back to XP just because it doesn't do what he wants it to do.
Can you try
Midora? Maybe.
It's awesome.
Yeah. He doesn't have it. He does have it. No. I should do that. Because that has, the Mint TV has the, like, a display for TVs.
Yeah. It does everything very well.
I wonder if Mint Ubuntu would. But it probably
is way better.
It's not really.
What? When we talk about Fedora, in Fedora 10, I think they switched the virtual display from the, what is it, Control Alt F7 to F1.
It's F1 that displays X?
That's graphics now?
Yeah.
Okay.
And some people
that would be very confusing.
Yeah, some people were very upset about it.
F7 is the text then?
Yes.
Okay.
So then...
Whatever.
Why the claim to a fame was that it was much faster and your virtual terminal was on the first terminal, and it was starting it up. That was the...
Right, and I know one thing that they're actually working on is... I can't remember exactly what it's called, but where the X mode can be switched, like... almost or modeless Moldus X switching or whatever it was called. I can't remember what it was named, where it can, you know, start up X at a certain resolution and keep that throughout the entire boot sequence. So you're not getting all the goofy flickering and all that. Like, as soon as the kernel boots, there you go, you're in X. You're in X.
So I don't know if it's going to stay there, but that's what I read. And some people are
they can put up with it.
Yeah.
Could bring a desktop in to configure it. Could we have like an install week or something? Like I've got a regular desktop that I right now the processor's overheating because I don't think it has a big enough heatsink, and just because of the way that the case is designed, the fan for the CPU doesn't exactly line up. I mean, it's close, but it's not exactly lined up to the hole where the thing is. So I'm having heating issues, but once I get over that, we do like a Mythbuntu or a Mythdora install or as a trial run and stuff. No, it's an Athlon XP2200.
Okay.
Which is a fairly hot running generation of processors
yeah.
and stuff.
Yeah, those things and it's, those yeah. things run at about 90 degrees C natively.
Yeah. Well,
I used to have a 2400 and it was yeah. Oh yeah, it started up at 90.
I've been looking for
a boiled egg on that thing. Yeah.
Yeah. The problem I keep running into now is that I'll use the machine for about 30 seconds and then the alarm will start kicking off because it's like the morning. The
oh, well, you definitely need something like Myth TV on there that uses the processor like almost constantly. I mean, the load on my processor, I've got a dual core, and the load is actually up around 60% average. So it just kills the process.
I know.
Oh yeah, it does.
I might end up having to get a new board and a new chip and everything, and I'd like to get a good low voltage, low heat source one. And I was looking at a few videos on YouTube about there's certain boards and processors that have a heat sink that's about like 4 or 5 inches tall, and it's efficient enough that it doesn't actually need a fan at all. So it's like, you know, you don't need any fans in the system whatsoever just because it's low voltage enough and it's low heat enough that it could just dissipate enough with the open air. And, you know, it'd be nice to get something like that. I don't know what generation of processor, I can't remember, but it'd be nice to do something like that and then just use the peripherals that I have already, like the DVD burner and the...
Do you have, like, a TV tuner card or anything?
I've got a Hoppage PBR350.
Okay. Perfect. So. There you go. And that comes with the remote, right?
Yeah.
Okay, so there you go. Yeah.
So the hardware I have for that is just I've been having heating issues, and so, like, I'll work on it every so often, and then it'll fail, and it's like, oh, I can't really afford to go buy any chip and stuff right now, so,
right.
Like, you know, either try to baby this along, or...
What I've got the... 150, mm-hmm. and then I've also got one of these in there.
Oh, the HD TV one?
Yeah. So you can capture, the cable company has to send all of the high def stations over the wire unencrypted. Mm-hmm. So any of the networks I can get in high def and record them.
So if you have a standard subscription, you can pick up the signal with that because it's not encrypted and then just watch HD?
Yes. You have anything that you can pick up over the air high def, the cable company has to offer it over their system unencrypted if they offer it. So like NBC, I can pick up NBC in high def over the air. So if they offer high def NBC anywhere, they have to send it unencrypted. So I can get high def NBC over the regular cable.
Does it require an HD subscription then?
I mean, no. We have basic, like the $10 cable.
Yeah. Or just like the 12, 15 channels or whatever it is?
Yep. Yep. We got PBS, ABC, NBC, and Fox in high def.
Does it pixelate pretty often, or is it pretty good in terms of signal?
I haven't really had any complaints with the signal. I've maybe noticed one or two glitches all time.
I had a friend who just bought a new HDTV, and he was using an over-the-air antenna for the time being until his dish was hooked up.
That was absolutely
That was pretty pixely. So.
The thing about it, right in town, or close to Eau Claire, TV-13 just completely wipes everything else off the map. But then you can't pick up TV-13 because the signal's too strong, and you get all these weird echoes. So TV-13 absolutely won't come in town. without a really, really good antenna.
The Wii 13 doesn't come in.
It will not come in town because the signal is too strong, and it, you get reflections.
Hmm. I can pick it up with a regular.
High def? Okay. It must be exactly where we are. We're getting a reflection or something because
really close to like my KFC.
Yeah.
I mean, because that's right
with 93 rainbow and 94.
Oh, that's closer to TV 18.
It's close, yeah, but there's a hill between us and TV 18, so we don't get a direct signal.
You think you'd be far enough away that you'd be out of like attenuation range, or like the bad reflect path as it's coming broadcast?
You would think so, but we absolutely could not get TV 13 in. But it works with the cable.
I suppose it's just a digital. I mean, it's a signal on a copper line, regardless of. You know, I wouldn't think you'd have as much degradation of signals going through it. Just, it's not like it's an open broadcast where you're susceptible to interference from any wireless source that's
all
in the
room. All their signal levels right on the cable were at about 90 to 93%. So they were all good locks.
Cool.
Then the nice thing about having both, well, you've already got the 350, yeah. So you can record two channels at once. Yeah, I mean, this, you know, you can go in and down. You can record two stations at once.
Yeah. It's a project that I've had sitting out there for like the longest time. Yeah, never been able. I've been like so close to being able to get the line signal going. I've tried a Gen 2 or tried a Ubuntu with like self-installed versions of MIPS and everything. I keep running into hardware issues, to key issues and stuff, and that's been like the biggest hurdle to get over. So I need to find like a good support.
I've got a low power Athlon and that works really well.
Okay.
For the low wattage Athlon, like the 65 watt processor, 4800 or whatever, 10 gigs of RAM.
Okay.
Actually, 2 gigs is probably overkill. 1 gig is about good.
Right,
and then
he has like
the key is with the hard drives so that you want to run them with using OEM, so that if you want to throw in a second hard drive, it's plug it in, go, you're done.
Well, I have a file server at home, and it's a I have a hardware RAID with 6 IDE hard drives,
so
I
probably want to set it on.
Yeah, I have a network attached 1 terabyte file server using hardware RAID that works great for storing stuff, and that's just my general repository.
One thing you want to be careful with though is bandwidth, because if you start, normal TV is probably okay on that. Mm-hmm. If you start pumping high def, 100 megabit network isn't going to be fast enough. Mm-hmm.
I know that bandwidth, well, we don't have an HDTV or signal or anything,
right.
So that's not a concern. At the
wireless
point.
Was not good enough to send a standard def signal.
All right. What about N?
I didn't try N. I'm assuming N would because G was just right there, but couldn't quite put through enough bandwidth to do it.
There's a lot of potential with N, especially with the MIMO inputs, and I mean the way that they're... The whole concept of N is the fact that you're sending multiple signals out at a time, and then the way that they're propagating, they're actually increasing their signal strength by feeding off of each other. So you're sending multiple inputs and multiple outputs at the same. And you know, there have been tests where people have theoretically gotten better than 200 megabit per second on wireless, which is pretty cool. So it's,
yeah.
Cool, it's a good theory, but you know, there's a lot of limitations in the
application. The switch has to be better than 100 megabits per second for you to get anything.
Well, yeah, that's
faster than that through wireless. And you're still switching and routing.
It's a good theory, and it gets it to the point where like that was half duplex. So like you're talking about a full duplex implementation being near 100 megabits, which is the max of what most wired people have at home. But the problem is it's not that connection that becomes the issue. It's the next step back in the switch in the enterprise becomes the issue, because not only are you trying to support full duplex 100 megabits on the Wi-Fi connection, but then you have to have a backup infrastructure to support it in the rest of the routed grid. So like you've got 802.11n, you've got 25 laptops that are browsing out there at 100 megabits, you have to have the backbone infrastructure. You're going to have a minimum of 1 gigabit per port from switch to switch or from router to router to be able to effectively use that much bandwidth back and forth to utilize it correctly. So it's, you know, it's a good theory for like small businesses and stuff, but everything of what I've read has been a challenge in the enterprise because the infrastructure just doesn't support it right now. And it'll probably be a couple of years before people can really upgrade to support it. I mean,
yeah, because I mean, you have to have like gig speeds. You need gigabit from end to end. If there's like any point in the link there that's 100 megabit, that's the speed you run it. You know.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
So if you're running, you know, if you're connected to even a gigabit port, and you have 25 people surfing on end speeds, it's
a train goes only as fast as its slowest car. Yeah.
Well, your question, yes, we can do it, you know, if you come, you know, a week up front and say, well, can we do it next week, you know, okay. I think it would be much better because maybe you can line up with the people who know more about stuff that, you know, I don't know.
I was just thinking we could hook it up to the projector maybe, and I don't have Wi-Fi in there, though. Do we have Cat 5 here? Or are we going to have a Cat 5 at Dooley's?
They don't have Wi-Fi at Dooley's?
No,
they have
do,
Wi-Fi.
But I
see he doesn't have Wi-Fi.
I don't have it. I suppose I could buy
USB.
Is that?
You have USB on?
Yeah, I'm part of
your problem.
It's true.
Why don't you have wireless?
It's a desktop machine. This was for the Fedora machine. It's not this one.
Yeah, exactly.
Tell Brian to bring that. Tell Brian to bring that dongle he has, and we could stick it in the USB port that he has, and we could do it that way.
That'd be a good quick fix to be assuming that the.
Because Brian's got one that's very Linux compatible.
Well, it is Linux compatible.
Yeah.
Okay.
Ah, somebody can just set up IP masquerading on their PC. It's just a few simple commands at the command line.
Yeah, you know, I have OS 10. All it is check internet connection sharing.
See, it's just a script that types in all the commands for you.
It's probably just as simple to make the change. It's just easier to do. It's very pretty.
Appreciate it.
As opposed to Linux, it's like command 1, 2, 3.
As long as it works.
Have it too complicated. And
actually, there might be an option to turn out.
I've been pleasantly surprised with MacOS X. I've been addicted to the overly simplistic everything.
Let's do it.
Shall we go on a newsletter? Just put a little order in this chaos for today.
Have you seen the new Mac Pro? Have you seen one?
Today was a
good day. I don't think I can do the no
Ubuntu. So I think I have to download stuff.
How do you play
it?
Is it a three tap or a pad? Because I can't see.
The whole pad is glass.
But you like that?
I downloaded it 10 times and deleted them.
Oh, the whole
thing. The whole thing clicks down as a click.
Okay, so I can see the flavors because I can't stand the like tap pad. Because I always have fat numbers or something. I always click on random stuff.
There's videos on Apple.com.
A new solar background.
Yeah?
Yeah, there was something called that.
It was great.
Has anybody downloaded Ubuntu?
Yeah, that's what I'm talking about. Do you want to have a copy?
No, I have a copy. I'm downloading.
You are downloading right now. Just stop, and I'll get you a copy.
Right.
Just because, you know, I'm a nice guy, I like to share.
Because you're chewing up all of our bandwidth, come on! No.
Yeah, that's what he really meant
to
say.
Why is it so slow?
Do you have it on disk?
No, I don't have it on disk.
You have to download it first.
But I know somebody has 4 gig USB stick.
Yeah, but it's full of
one of these disks
is 4 gig.
Not anymore.
Here.
There were actually
a DVD.
There were a few articles, whatever it has. It was still about Voice Canada. But the newsletter. Philosophy, features, Ubuntu, Voice Canada, and there was something from Mark Shuttleworth.
Here, use one of these cheapy cases and give me my good one back.
Oh, great. Take it with a beer, please.
there was something about CPN Foundation. They picked EPL that is an Eclipse public license. So if somebody's interested in that, Eclipse public license is what Eclipse is using, I guess.
It's the same as the GPL, but not.
It is not compatible. I think there's more that you don't need to reciprocate. I think there's a...
It's freer.
It's freer. You don't have to put anything back. And, your Android source code is available. You can download it. It's only 2.5 gigabytes.
Of source?
Yes, of source. Yes. It compiles to Android. I don't know. There was a run Google Android in Juju, so what you can do, you can have the emulator. So yeah, I guess it's more people who want to develop applications. So whatever you do,
that's pretty slick.
I think when you do you add repository.
That's a pretty good model that will compete with like the simulator for the iPhone. That was one of the big ploys for the developers, is that you've got a simulator of the iPhone right on the desktop along with the device for debugging and troubleshooting and everything, and this would be a good competitor.
They've had that for a lot of different PDAs and such for quite a while. So, yeah, like back in the day, all the Palms and everything had full emulation on the...
It's just one I've never seen it before, but it's just new.
It doesn't make sense.
They actually even have it for embedded microcontrollers and such, too.
Well, that makes sense. You know.
Do you want... I have 32-bit.
You don't have 64?
I don't have 64.
That's fine. I'm downloading 64.
It is a DVD, isn't it? Or is it just a...
Well, here, I'll give you a CDRW then.
What else we have there? Manipulating the CDs, DVDs, images for that. You were using acetone, so this one is acetone 2.
Yes. No, that's...
Did you read it?
No.
Okay, so let's move on.
I've been using acetone for a while. For a bit, and I'm almost out of power, and there's no other
apps. On my phone, there is
Here, I'll trade you.
I mean, not like total loss of function. Yeah. I've noticed that it's faster. Like, it's progressing faster.
Is your system switching to better battery life when you unplug it automatically? Up in the... You can click on the
shiniest one goes up, the one that's a little bit more greenish goes down.
What was that question?
You're screwed. You shouldn't have flipped it when it got passed to you.
And turn off Bluetooth so you don't use it. And
I never
turn down your screen brightness.
There was something about games on Linux for kids. So they're talking about it. Did you read that?
I kind of read through that. Just go to happypenguin.org and go through all their stuff. They got like a whole bunch of Linux games. I just pretty much go there maybe once every 2 weeks or so. That'll work.
Can you
boot
from USB?
I think I can. Is that bootable?
This is bootable.
It should be.
Do you want to try it out?
Is it what it is?
It'll still run.
It'll work. I just want 64-bit.
Want and get.
Well, I'm getting what I want right now.
This site actually has over...
I ordered you to a board.
It has over 2,000 games on it, so, for Linux.
Cool. So there was some kind of matter of own finance thing.
I played it up a little bit. It's the same as, you know, the GNU
thing. I think this is actually Java.
Pretty slick.
Whatever.
Did you look at it at all?
I think that at one point, not this time, but at one point.
It was a GTK application. Well,
it looks like GTK.
Java look like GTK,
but
I think that was a GTK. No, he had a
So you've 12 years of user experience.
They're going to have to tell me that I'm poor.
That is available on Linux, BSD, Windows, and
Amiga.
Amiga.
Wow.
That's
what it was developed on.
No, get Amiga on the closet and boot up.
You know, something interesting, we were kind of talking about phones. Opera's got a version that runs, a version of Opera that actually runs on the iPhone, and Apple won't let them release it. Because it competes with Safari.
There's been a couple of technologies like that. Flash is a big complaints about the iPhone is because they don't allow any native Flash on the iPhone. Because
I think it used to be that you had to actually license Flash on mobile devices. And right now, they don't have to actually license it. So I don't know why I have to license Flash.
I think it's because it would open up too many other possibilities. Like, there's services like Hulu and like other streaming services
that would
compete with their iTunes downloading model. So, yeah, they wouldn't be downloading TV shows and movies through iTunes, and they would be watching them free streaming.
They're shooting themselves in the foot, especially with Android coming out.
Well, I know. I mean, that's a real limitation.
Yeah, except the Android doesn't have the same screen size.
Well, the one phone doesn't, but I mean, Android's just the platform. Like, any device with any resolution can open it up. You know. But although I must say, having watched, looked at his, it's really slick.
It is really slick, and I mean, it is. You have as much screen space when you scroll back and forth, which I think is kind of cool.
Yeah.
Because it's really, it's so easy to switch back and forth. You always have to use that sort of space.
Well, for the applications this week, we have FS Lim. I have a person who's very rusty of using FS Lim.
Wonder who that could be.
Really not go back there.
I put that door on
Wonder who that could be.
So there was some application about guitar, tabular, notation.
I had a chance to try it out. It actually looked like a new software, but here it is. I still like touching the word.
Any good programs, actually. And there was Arctic backup, these incremental backups for Compliment 5. I did look at it.
There's a package that came out a while ago that's like a time machine equivalent program in Ubuntu. You can do like an incremental. I haven't tried it, but I saw it.
What was it? I don't remember what it was called.
It was
a couple of Python scripts, I think.
Yeah, time vault. Simple front end for making snapshots on the set of directories.
What else we have there? Last week we talked about the website that Yahoo had
We
talked about Popcorn and
I think it might be.
I thought an RW couldn't burn in back. Is there some limitation there?
So, I don't think so. I had like a whole... I don't know. It might be. If it says it's an RW, it's probably an RW.
It doesn't say RW.
Then it's probably not an RW. Can't argue with that logic. Because there wasn't any.
Yeah. It's just blind faith. I'll be awesome. Blind faith in my operating system reporting. You still didn't make up your mind?
I bought one.
I know.
Time capsule.
I'm not gonna go out.
You
bought a time
capsule?
It's pretty cool. Is that like the? That's like the wireless data
background. You can see if people are writing.
That looks really cool.
So you can actually have face people. I didn't really watch them, but you can see how they look like and stuff like that. I still want to get money for it, but I'm trying to bring my kids to be a better that's a big challenge.
Teach them the program and then they can do your program and work.
There's 10 years anniversary of VNCA.
Woo!
Yeah.
I'm excited. This is Towley from South Park. He always gets high and has no idea what's going on.
Man, I have no idea what's going on right now.
He's a government engineer, Towley.
Yeah.
You guys.
Yeah, I don't know. Something you said reminded me.
I'll see you next week.
Are you guys catching at 11?
Oh, yeah.
The Dooleys.
Ooh.
No, that was the Tuesday.
Oh, how's that?
Technically correct.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you very much. Running Google anywhere in Google, I guess, knows that how to up there too. And then
I want to say something about that.
Yeah, please.
That's actually using something called a screen scraper.
Okay.
So it's going to the website and it's parsing HTML and stealing information off the site. The legality of that is in question.
So what do you think you're good at?
Because the site, you know, they're making their money off the ads. So you doing that is going past their ads and it's actually running a script attacking their website. So you could technically be charged with hacking their website by doing that.
When I saw that was
it's a free service. They don't no longer offer the free service. You have to use Schedules Direct and pay for it. Anyway.
It must use some sort of implementation of links to grab the data. You know, text-based browser.
Actually, they use wget. I looked at the script that uses wget and it parses the stream.
And that'll work. I mean, that'll translate and that'll grab the text.
Yeah, if you fall asleep during your TV show, you'll be slammed in jail. You know what I mean?
There's a couple of different things for like mid TV and actually
like
one of the plugins for Midora, it will go to a certain website and it'll get all the times of movies or local movie theaters. So it goes out to like a website, looks it up on the website, grabs all the HTML, parses it, and then gets the results in a certain format and displays it for you.
And I guess that's probably going to be the end of the recording because it's very long. And I want the biggest one to do this. Thank you. Bye.
Thank you for listening to Hack Republic Radio. HPR is sponsored by Caro.net, so head on over to caro.net for all your hosting needs.